Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Makara Sankranti was celebrated. The sun has started seemingly moving towards the north. And as the nature brings in new tidings, it is yet another opportunity for us to never look south, never look at our failings. Yet another opportunity to walk on this path with determination. Yet another opportunity to never give scope to any doubt or confusion. And the Vahini we are discussing right now, Sandeha Nivarani, is all about removing those little, small and big traces of doubt. Faith is the bedrock of spiritual journey. And any glimmer of doubt also only debilitates our faith. The strong our faith is, the greater we are closer to the truth. As Swami very beautifully mentioned in the Sankranti discourse, where there is confidence, there is love. Where there is love, there is truth. Where there is truth, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is bliss. And where there is bliss, there is God. So swimming in this beautiful ocean of Sandeha Nivarini, we are in chapter 7. In fact, the beautiful tenets of spirituality, spiritual living that Bhagwan has mentioned in this chapter, all in just one or two lines, but each one is a powerful summary of what is the philosophy of Sri Satya Sai. And Bhagwan has been giving us this opportunity to spend time to dwell on these precious jewels. You don't need to learn Sanskrit to unravel the mysteries of Indian scriptures. Very simply, very beautifully, Bhagwan has given to us, and it is our unparalleled opportunity to listen to them, contemplate on them, and ensure that they turn into energy within us. Swami says, if you're carrying a bag of food and if you have a long journey, that bag of food will add to the weight of your journey. But if you just eat that bag of food, then it transforms into energy, and that energy will allow you to walk on this journey faster, quicker, and with lot more vigor. And that is what understanding, assimilating and living these teachings will do to us. So with prayers to Bhagwan, we will listen once again to segment 7.3. Bhagwan has blessed Brother Amey Deshpande again to be with us. He was with us in the previous session as we are discussing point number 18 of chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. Brother Amey did his schooling as well as his management in Bhagwan's university. He went on to do his PhD, and now he serves in the Sri Satya Sai Center for Human Values. So let me play for you now segment 7.3, and then we'll place our minds at his feet and see how he guides our thoughts.
Fifteen. try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So, I think each of these points, as you listen, you keep feeling, okay, Swami, pause. There is so much. We have to really absorb that. We have to really put that into our life, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, each of these Swami himself has elaborated through his discourses and
yes,
through other Vahinis at length.
Yes, absolutely.
Each of these, there are key words in every sentence And he has elaborated them through summer showers,
yes,
through the infinite conversations that Swami would,
yes,
have with students on various occasions, whether,
correct,
they be dramas.
Correct.
You know, we are, in fact, we were discussing about point number 19.
Yes.
Which is, last time we couldn't complete it because,
yes,
it's such an important point, which is patience is all,
yes,
the strength that man needs.
Yes.
And we have just come off a beautiful season of sports meet.
Yeah.
And I think sports meet is one such occasion where patience is tested.
Oh, yes.
At all levels.
Patience, perseverance.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Students who have no idea about a month ago what they are going to take up.
Yes.
Right. Are suddenly called upon to,
yes,
Discover talents that they did not know, and,
yes,
you have to be steadily at it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, I remember March past.
Yeah,
it's not one of the more attractive,
yes,
events of this of sports meet, and yet it's something that every student in the science institutions have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there is one thing, one event in the sports meet that really teaches patience,
yes,
I think it definitely would be March past.
March past, exactly.
Hours on end. We would continuously,
yes,
just swing, you know,
yes,
left, right, left, left, right, left.
And only when you do it perfectly, then you realize that it is like another
workout,
sports meet event.
Absolutely,
itself.
Yes.
Because once you do it well, you know, what it does to your body, mind, and your entire anatomy is
and
quite
think,
a thing.
I think the real patience is tested when you're doing well, but the others are not.
Yeah.
Or somebody else is doing really
so
well.
You have to do that. So you,
yeah,
have to.
So I think that's
ensure,
where,
yes,
you know. So our squadron leaders and,
yes,
the people who come from the army to,
yes,
to guide us and,
yes,
help us out,
mm,
they always tell us one thing. It's not about you alone.
You. Mm.
It's about the entire team.
Correct.
So you have to ensure that the entire team is doing well.
Not only just be patient with yourself, be patient with others' journey.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the strength.
Yes.
And you're doing it hours on end. And eventually the entire march pass gets over in 35 minutes.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
on the final day of 11th,
yes,
Jan,
mm,
it gets over in 35 minutes. But you would have practiced the,
yes,
same thing over and over again for hours on end,
yes,
for nearly a month,
really,
building.
I remember how Swami used to be so insistent about every student being part of the march.
Absolutely.
Past.
And in fact, for Swami, the march past was his main event.
Yes.
Right? We've seen it,
yes,
finish. Christmas gets over,
yes,
26th morning he is on the ground.
Yes.
And what does he want to see? He wants to see March Past.
Yes.
And I, you know, eventually when we were students and then we became research scholars and then we became teachers. And one thought was, Swami, don't you get bored?
Bored, yeah.
Like we have
now, what is there
like,
to see in a March Past?
What is there to see? It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's, you know, the same thing. And I think the sports meet as we know it, I think,
yes,
started in 1989.
Yeah.
I think it's 87. Till then it was like more the, you know, the competition.
Yes.
You know, you used to,
yeah,
have football matches,
yeah,
and things like that.
Mm.
But I think 87, 88 was when sports meet as we know it today,
yeah,
which is exhibition item, started.
Yes. Mm.
And since then, from 87 to 2011,
yes,
right, every single year Swami has come.
Yes.
And if almost for
not
7, 8
seen
days.
The March past on the D-Day.
On the D-Day, yes.
But seen the rehearsals.
Yeah, all the rehearsals. He will come almost every alternate day,
yes,
almost every day from 26th,
yes,
onwards.
Yeah.
And he will want to see the march past.
Correct.
I think, you know, that itself was his patience.
Yeah, absolutely.
His patience to just sit through it.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything of Swami you see, it's only patience.
Yes.
The amount of patience he had with us, the amount of patience he had with every event, the amount of patience he had with every drama, I think it is all just his life. It's just a saga of patience.
Yes, yes. And in fact, through his patience, we also learned a,
yes,
lot about,
yes,
you know, especially if for those of you who must have seen the events of this year,
yes,
there were several events which required tremendous amount of patience. Just,
yes,
be at it. Be,
yes,
at it for 15,
yeah,
days, 20 days.
Yes.
And, you know, just strive for that perfection. So I think perfection comes only when you have enough patience.
Yes.
If you do not have patience, you cannot achieve perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I thought about this for this particular point was the drama that we saw yesterday.
Yes.
Which was on the Pandavas.
Yes. Sarvam Krishnamayam.
Yes. And one of the stories, which of course they did not show yesterday, but whenever we talk about Pandavas and Krishna, I think the Pandavas are another great example of patience.
Absolutely.
The amount of trials and tribulations that they have gone through being princes is unparalleled in any novel or any scripture, or, you know, it's just incredible the amount of pain and suffering that one family had to go through.
And the more they were patient, more they were cultivating their forbearance, more they were blessed with God's presence.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the point was, which is, it was not that, in fact, all the Pandavas had the equal amount of patience.
Yes.
You know, it was this Dharmaja, who was the elder brother.
Correct.
And Swami often says Dharmaja is like the mind, because Arjuna is the talent that you have. Bhima is the strength, physical prowess that you have. You may have talent and prowess, but if you don't have a very steady mind, which can tell you, like, the buddhi is not good.
Right and wrong.
What is right and wrong? Yeah. There were several times in the lives of Pandavas we have seen where it could have gone out of hand.
Yes. I mean, impatience was just about to take over.
Yes. Including whether you look at that game of dice.
Yes.
It was, you know, and anybody would feel at that time,
enough's enough.
Enough is enough. Yes. Just go and smash those people to smithereens. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And yet it was Dharmaja all the time who said, calm down. Just calm down. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of the other brothers who accepted that.
Accepted.
You know what my brother is telling me? Calm down. And I think it is one of those beautiful dramas that Swami portrays about these five Pandavas, where all of the Pandava brothers are shouting at, kind of, they are just frustrated, not shouting, but they're frustrated, saying, what have we done to deserve this? Have we done anything wrong in our lives?
Yes.
Did we have any, you know, egoism, or did we have any jealousy, or did we have greed? Why is this happening to us?
Right from our childhood.
Right from the childhood. In fact, their birth itself.
Birth,
you know, they were born in a forest.
Yes.
They were not born in a kingdom, in a palace.
Yes.
Right? And since then, and it is at that moment that, you know, everybody's kind of just venting out their frustration, and Lord appears there. You know, Lord Krishna comes over there, and everybody, including, in fact, I don't know those padyams, but those padyams were written by Bhagwan, right? Where everybody's talking, why is this happening to us? And at that moment, Krishna opens a piece of leaf and he writes something on it.
Yes.
And he says, whenever you're going through your darkest moments, open this leaf and read what is there in it.
Yes.
Right? We all know that.
Yes.
It was a beautiful drama in 99.
Yes.
In 1999, the convocation drama.
And a drama which Swami came and saw the rehearsals for perhaps some 50, 60 times.
Yes, about 2 months.
Almost every day of the 2 months, Swami was seeing the rehearsal.
Correct. And it's an extremely powerful message that Swami gives over there.
Yes.
Very simple. In fact, innocuously simple. When you actually read, you know, everybody wants to know, okay, so what is it that Krishna wrote? And in fact, in that drama, Swami materializes the very pen which Krishna had used.
Correct.
To write on that on that leaf, and the message is, you know, and the next time when they get frustrated, they say, you know, let's open and see what is that secret formula or the secret ingredient, secret mantra that he has given. And the mantra reads, this too shall pass. You know, dear listeners, we cannot overemphasize how simple but how profound this is. And this is exactly what patience is all about. Which is to constantly tell ourselves, this too shall pass.
In fact, I remember in the drama, this line was repeated by all the Pandavas.
Six times.
Six times. And every time the emphasis was different.
This too shall pass.
Yes.
This too shall pass.
Yes.
This too shall pass.
Yes.
And
every time it means so much, you know.
Exactly. And I think, dear listeners, we would like to take this opportunity to spend a little time contemplating on this. In fact, today in my house, my father has in fact written this in a placard, and, you know, he always keeps it. This too shall pass. He always keeps it there. I almost on a day-to-day basis, morning, afternoon, evening, I read that, you know. And almost everything, all of your crisis or whatever trials and tribulations that you may have, it's a beautiful answer to that.
Yes.
this too shall pass.
Yes.
These are all passing clouds.
Yes.
You know, and there will come a time when the sun shines.
Yes.
And all the clouds of doubt will go away.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that which gives you the patience.
Yes.
That this too shall pass. And because there was a time when it was not there in our lives.
Correct.
This situation.
Yes.
Was not there in our lives. Whenever, from wherever it started, right? So, I feel like every time there was this beautiful analogy that was given by one of our senior devotees who said that imagine you are standing at the ground floor of a building.
Yes.
And there is a march past going on.
Yes.
So, what is in front of you is the present. What is about to come is the future. And the part of the march past that is gone past is the past. You cannot see it now. Now, imagine that building is a 20-storied building. And imagine on the terrace of the building, there is a person standing. And imagine both of you are, you can talk to, you are standing at the ground floor, he's standing on the terrace, and you have a walkie-talkie, let's say, and something really attractive is in front of you. And so you say, hey, are you seeing what I am seeing?
Mm.
And what does that person say? He says, you tell me what you are seeing because I can see everything. From where he is,
yes.
And on the 25th story, there is no past, present and future, right?
Yes.
For him, he is able to see at a stretch, he is able to see everything. What is your future for him is the present.
Hmm.
What is your past is the present for him.
Yes.
Because he has simply raised his vision,
yes,
to a level. I think this is not merely just for the divine, but for each one of us, every time we are in that, in a crisis situation,
yes,
can we raise ourselves a little higher to see, hey, today this crisis is looking at me in my eye. This wasn't there, you know, 5 months back, 5 weeks back, 5 years back, right? When I take a bigger look at it, suddenly that whole problem looks small now to me.
Yes.
Because in the vast time of existence, this is just one blip. This is just one dot, which when I look close by, when I'm at its, you know, at its face, it looks really big.
Hmm.
But otherwise, it's a very small thing. So I think one of the ways which this too shall pass, which just like the march past, it just goes on.
Yes.
And it goes past.
Yes.
Can we take a higher view of life?
Yes.
And that is what can build us patience.
Absolutely. And in fact, 2-3 thoughts come to mind as you know, when you narrated the Pandavas from the Mahabharata, you know, my mind went back to Ramayana. Because again, when I look at Ramayana, you find so many beautiful characters and so many personalities who are just epitomes of patience.
Patience, yeah. Last week we discussed about Shabarimala.
Shabari is one. But there are so many characters about whom we generally do not discuss much. And if you look at their life, if you just think how their lives would have been, it is just a saga of tremendous, tremendous penance and patience. Like, for example, when you look at Bharata, I mean, we are all familiar with the famous dialogue between Rama and Bharata when Bharata requests Rama to come back. And, you know, finally, even though King Janaka says that, you know, Bharata, you won the dialogue because you are for Dharma. And Rama says, fine, you are the winner, but if you really love me, do this for me. And love has no barriers. I mean, there is no dharma greater than love. And that's when we see Bharata coming back with, Rama's
padukas.
Yeah. But there was no need for Bharata to stay in Nandigrama. He could have just, you know, been in the palace and, you know, run the kingdom. There's absolutely not necessary for him to lead that kind of a life, you know, to lead an ascetic life like how Rama led. And it is at this point that Mandavi comes, Bharata's wife, and Mandavi says, you know, what mistake have I done? Why have you, you know, abandoned me like this? You know, why are you living here like this? He says, no, see, this is what my love for Rama is making me do.
In fact, he says that how can He says, when the king of Ayodhya is living in a particular way, how can his subjects be living in another way? And then when Mandavi in fact tells Bharata, then I'll also shift in with you because I am your equal half. He says, no, you have to look after the mothers right now.
If you really love me,
then she's, you have to be with the mothers.
Because if you want to serve me, serve the mothers.
Exactly.
Because that's
so
the way you
in
serve
fact,
them.
Yeah, look at Urmila's life. Urmila's life is another fascinating tale of patience.
Again, tremendous patience.
Tremendous patience. 14 years.
14 years.
You know, at least Lakshmana had the proximity of Rama.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, if you see Rama, Lakshmana, Sita, lots of things were happening in their lives, okay. But here, there is really nothing happening. They are just, and Shatrughna, we hardly talk about Shatrughna. Yeah. Shatrughna also just stays with Bharata. Shatrughna's wife, Sutakirti, she's also there in the palace. Yep. And she does not have Shatrughna with.
Yeah, in fact, I think, as you rightly said, I think every character in Ramayana is an epitome of patience.
You look at Bibhishana, for how many years he was waiting for Rama.
The mothers, imagine Kaikeyi's condition.
Yes.
14 years she has to, you know, swallow that bitter pill.
Pill.
Every single morning and evening, wondering what must be happening to my son.
Yes.
Right? Waiting for him to come back.
Yes.
And all of the mothers were around. None of them kind of gave up their life. In fact,
Dasharatha was waiting. Yes.
Dasharatha was the lucky one in a sense that he didn't have to wait. Once again, I think these epics were so dear to Swami because each of these characters was a monumental example for mankind.
Mm.
And as much as they may sound a little impractical and unrealistic, when you start practicing that in your day-to-day life, you start to see that that is the only way actually.
Yes.
Patience is the only way to have, because you cannot deal with all situations.
Yes.
If only all our efforts met with the same kind of successes.
Yes.
Right? We would know the direct correlation. For example, I know that, this is happening because of this.
Yes.
But rarely does it happen in our lives.
Yes.
That we do something, but we get something else. How do you reconcile with that? Patience is the only method to reconcile.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, coming back home probably more towards, I would say, 20th century, 21st century. We are going to have the Olympics later this year.
Yes.
If you look at some of the greatest Olympic champions, all of their lives have been a saga of patience. And I think the important point that I also would like to highlight here is patience doesn't mean laziness. See, one could look at patience and think that
patience is like penance.
Patience doesn't mean that, let me just wait for it to happen.
Yes.
And I sit lazily.
Yes.
That's not the idea over here.
Yes.
Patience is our strength. Strength for what? To do our day-to-day activities.
Yes.
So we don't, that patience doesn't mean that I give up my day-to-day duties and I wait for it to happen.
I do keep doing my best. I keep doing my best every single day.
Every single day, having patience that it will bear fruit.
Yes.
And I think here is another very subtle concept which comes out. We have the three gunas. We have sattva, rajas and tamas.
Yes.
Rajas is activity.
Yes.
We all know that. Now, the problem comes between sattva and tamas. Tamas is also dullardness.
Mm.
Okay, it's the dullness. Sattva also, in a sense, if you were to look at a sattvic person, he is also somebody who is always, kind of very
refers to be in stillness.
Yeah, will be still.
Mm.
Okay, and in fact, in one of the discourses, Swami says this, for an outsider, an intoxicated man who is a tamasic man, and a sattvic man looks the same.
Same.
Because their external demeanor will be the same. Both will be, let's say, lying down. Both will be closing their eyes.
Both have lost body consciousness.
Kind of a thing. Yes. Yes, true. True. Very true. In fact, in one of the discourses, Swami very clearly mentions this.
Yeah.
So, what is the difference between the two? No? Because oftentimes, people think that they can go on a high through, drugs and things like that. What is the difference between... I'm reminded very quickly of an incident that happened. So, when I was part of the Vrindavan Sevadal, we used to do bhajans in Vrindavan. And this was Swami's 75th birthday in the year 2000. And that year, we had decided that we will do 75 bhajans in 75 non-Sai locations.
Okay.
Like in and around Bangalore.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So schools, orphanages, hospitals, mm-hmm. Mandirs, temples, you know. So because we were bhajan group members, so every Saturday, Sunday, we would take up one. So we needed like, this went on for nearly 35, 40 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because every Saturday, Sunday, we would do one temple or one school or one orphanage, we would do a bhajan. In a non-Sai kind of a place. So I remember when Swami had come to Vrindavan, on a Sunday, our schedule would be something like wake up in the morning at 3:30, get ready and start to Vrindavan. It used to take an hour to reach. We all had to be present in Vrindavan before 6 in the morning. So we would wait and then Swami would come out by 6:30, 6:45, sometimes 7. And then on a Sunday, the entire day would be bhajans. Mm-hmm. So we went through the entire day of bhajans from morning 7 o'clock to evening 3:34, maybe 5 o'clock Swami would take aarti. After that, after he takes aarti, then we used to go to the temple, set up the entire thing. Okay, from 7 to 8 we would do bhajans. And then by the time we would go back home, it would be 9:30. So our day would have started at 3:30 in the morning and you know, would end at like 9:30 at.
Wow.
So it used to be very tiring days, but it used to be blissful days because whole day we were doing bhajans. So one of those days, I was returning back home, me and one of my colleagues on the two-wheeler. It was about 9:30 on a Sunday night in Bangalore. For those of you who know, in Bangalore, it's supposed to be the pub city. So a lot of, you know, drunk people on the road. So one of our brothers who was drunk was crossing the road. And I was going and I knew that this guy is, you know, intoxicated. And so I was trying to avoid him, but he comes very close to me and he kicks both of us.
Oh my God.
And we almost lose balance and we are going to fall off the bike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we manage to get, you know, back our balance and we go. And it was about 10 minutes, you know, before both of us actually acknowledged that situation, what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly at that moment when I acknowledged that, oh my God, how did that fellow do this? Okay. And a spurt of anger came into me, like, you know, I should have got on and bashed him up. What does he think? You know, just because nothing will happen to him, how can he behave like this with someone? And that was a thought. And just then the brother who was sitting behind me said, aren't our positions the same? He is intoxicated with alcohol. We are intoxicated with bhajans. You know? And I still remember this very vividly, even 19 years after, because it was exactly what had happened. We were not able to even acknowledge that something had happened to us. You know, either we were so physically tired, but there was no sense of, you know, it took 10-15 minutes to acknowledge and get angry also. Because we were so blissed out at that time. And so coming back to the point of, one was a sattvic kind of intoxication, one was a tamasic kind of intoxication. The only difference between the two, between sattvic and the sattvic person and the tamasic person, is Swami says alertness. A sattvic person is alert.
He knows.
He's aware of
the state he's in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas a tamasic person is not aware. For example, when we sleep.
Yes.
A sleepy person is not aware of his sleep.
Yes.
In fact, when he becomes aware of his sleep, he is no more in sleep.
Yes.
Right? So, I think the reason why I thought we should also raise this is that patience is also that alertness.
Yes. Yeah.
To do activity.
Yeah. Not out of frustration.
Exactly.
You know, just like Bharata did it. You know, so just like Mandavi, Shutakirti, Urmila, you know, they were not frustrated. They took it fully aware, fully alert, and that is the reason why, you know, when Hanuman was crossing, you know, Bharata spots Hanuman, and you know, and he's so much tuned to what is happening. He's thinking maybe someone is attacking, you know, and that's why he releases that arrow and Hanuman comes down. But that shows his alertness.
Yes.
Like every day you're counting.
Yes.
That he will come back.
You know. In fact, so much so that Swami says that Sarupyam happened.
Yes, yeah.
Right? He started, he was so much lost in contemplation of Rama all the time.
Yes.
Started looking like Rama.
Looking like Rama, yes.
So, these are the two stories that came to my mind, which is, this too shall pass. I think it's a
absolutely
very powerful formula.
Yeah.
For all our listeners and all of us to keep practicing every day.
Yes.
Whatever happens, whether it is success or failure, whether it is joy or sorrow, I feel at some point of time, just tell yourself, this too shall pass. Yeah.
But I think the point that you made about, you know, even as we are waiting to convert that waiting into a sadhana, like our waiting boys, yes. You know, the boys were waiting for Bhagwan's instructions. You know, for them that waiting was a tapasya. You know, you never knew, you had no idea when he's going to give the job.
Correct. So you have to be alert.
You have to be alert every day, every darshan, because you don't know when suddenly Swami will come and talk to you. You might have waited for 2 years, and if you missed that particular morning when Swami called the waiting boys, 2 years is gone. You know, you don't know again when Swami will call you.
Yeah.
Because those are very, very rare opportunities when Swami would actually speak to you, because you don't have the chance to sit in the front like the boys or the VIPs or the other devotees have. You'll be in one little corner, which Swami will come only once. So if you lose that chance, you don't know when you will get it. So every day you have to be alert. I think that is something.
I think back home, that's the most ideal example. To give. Yes, true. Very true. Yeah.
In fact, I was also reminded of that beautiful Chinnakatha that Bhagwan used to narrate. About that boy who waited for a mantra patiently.
Yes. I think it's not very often Swami has told the Chinnakatha.
Yes.
So it's very difficult to actually find the Chinnakatha. I think, but in a couple of thrice sessions and a couple of discourses.
It is there.
He has mentioned it. So the story is a very interesting one. It goes as follows, that there was a boy who was very devoted to his Guruji, and he goes and he begs his guru to give him a mantra, and the guru says, no, first let me see how dedicated you are. And they say that for 12 years,
yes,
the guru made him do everything in the ashram, you know, wash clothes, set up the meals for the cooking, do all the household work for the Guruji, and pick his, you know, clothes and everything connected to the guru. The boy very, very diligently did. One fine day when the boy is busy working and the Guruji goes to the banks of the river to have his bath, the Guruji is a realized soul. He realizes that is the time, his time has come. His time to give up his body has come. And then he realizes that, oh, but I'm supposed to give, you know, that mantra to that boy.
Yeah.
And so he takes a leaf and he writes something on the leaf. Okay. And he gives it, he leaves it on the banks.
No, I mean, as you mentioned, Swami has not mentioned this story many times, but you know, probably there are slightly 2-3 versions of the story. So in one version of the story, Swami says that the Guruji realizes that the time has come to, you know, give this mantra to the boy. And so the Guruji tells the boy to go and, you know, have bath and come. Okay. And by the time he comes, Guruji realizes that his time has come to leave, and so quickly he writes something on the sand. And when the boy comes back and he's frantically looking for the Guruji, he's not able to find anyone. And that is when he, in and around, when he looks, he finds this lady. And he asks this lady. This lady notices that this Guruji suddenly left, and before leaving, he wrote something on the sands. And this lady, whatever was written on the sand, she quickly inscribed it on a leaf, on a palm leaf, and she erased it from the sands of the river. And so when this boy met this lady,
yeah, he begs the lady,
correct,
you know, and this lady happens to be a dancer who earns money through dancing, you know,
yes,
in different societies and in communities. And
And this boy begs.
He begs. He says, you know, for 12 years,
yes,
I've been waiting for this this mantra. Please give it to me. This is my life.
And he wanted her to give it, you know, in a nice manner. You know, he didn't want to really force it out of her.
Yes. And she says, oh, is it so important for you? I think then you work for me.
Yeah.
You know, and let me see how diligent you are.
Yeah.
And it is said that, you know, Swami goes on to say, for another 12 years,
yes,
this boy, okay, he keeps, you know, doing all her household activities, washing her clothes and beating the drum wherever she goes.
I mean, earlier you were serving the guru. Now it is almost like earlier, at least you were doing something for God, and now he is like serving the world.
World.
Something like that it became.
Yeah.
Because he just has to do whatever this lady
exactly,
asks.
Exactly, whatever the lady asks. But all the time his mind was always on that piece of
Yes.
You know, on that piece of whatever is written in that leaf.
Yeah.
Whatever is written in the leaf, I need that. Yes. I need that. I need that.
Mm.
And so 12 years pass.
Yes.
And eventually, one day the lady is...
I mean, that's what Bhagwan writes, that, well, the lady was not treating him so well. And so there was on one occasion when, you know, he didn't have proper food to eat also. And so he was very hungry, and the king of that area was serving free food. Now, the king wanted a son, and a sage had told that if you start doing this act of doing Narayan Seva, serving the poor every day, if at any point in time a really pious soul has your food, immediately the bells
in the
royal temple will ring, and that is when you will know that auspicious times are
that the right person has come.
Yes,
enlightened soul has come,
and now the good things will start happening to you. So I mean, the king had been doing this seva for so many years, and actually it had come to a point where he got frustrated, because, you know, so many people he has served and never the bell is ringing, and he's like, he's not able to find that person. So when this boy goes and he looks for food, and that day actually food is already over, and they were almost like cleaning the vessels, and then, you know, he was so hungry, he just has some leftover food was lying there, and, you know, he requests them and he has that, and immediately the bells start ringing and the king sends his messengers, who is this person? And, you know, that is how they find this person, and the king says, I'm so happy I found you, you are the person I was waiting for months and years. I'm willing to give half my kingdom to you. He says, no, I don't want anything. I don't want your kingdom. I don't want anything. You know, if you can help me, just do me this. I want that palm leaf inscription, you know. But you don't force her. You don't command her. I don't want it. I want her to. You know, I have served her all these years, and I want her to give it to me. You know.
And so then the king calls her for a dance.
Yes.
While the dance is going on,
yes, the queen throws golden, yes, diamond earrings, and
she would have. So this lady, would have kept that piece of that palm leaf in her earrings. And when the queen throws her earrings, she has to remove these earrings and wear those.
Yes.
And in that process, she throws away this earring.
Yes.
And that's when this boy leaps on top of it.
Yes.
And, you know, this is the time when, you know, there is like everybody in the hall also was like waiting. Okay, Swami, this has been a long story. I mean, just forget the boy's patience. Our patience was just, you know, we were so excited. Okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What is written finally in that leaf?
Mm.
Okay. And Swami says the boy opens the leaf and instantaneously he gets self-realization.
Mm.
That's it. Swami, but what was written in that? Nothing was written in that. It is simply the act of waiting for that leaf.
Yes.
Which had prepared this boy for the ultimate. So it was finally not even, because this boy was under the, you know, like if you now kind of analyze the story a bit, it is like the boy thinks now that, okay, now my sadhana will start, because now I know what is the mantra I am supposed to chant.
Hmm.
Now I am going to start chanting. Then I will, you know, yes, eventually. But just the yearning to get that mantra, just the yearning to see what is written in the leaf, had prepared this boy for the ultimate.
Yes.
And so ultimately it did not matter,
yes,
what was there in the leaf.
Yes. The journey is the destination.
Exactly. So it is that patience which actually is the process of chiseling.
Yes.
Is the process of the gold, the molten gold,
yes,
you know, getting rid of all its impurities.
Yes.
And therefore this particular story is so powerful, because at no point of time did this boy give up.
Yes.
He continued to do, and in a sense the first 12 years you can see is like brahmacharya.
Mm.
The next 12 years is like grihastha, because he worked in with a lady, you know, and he was doing all household work.
Mm.
So in a sense, you know, Swami, when I was hearing this, I felt like, yeah, is Swami kind of, because in the olden days, it used to be first 12 years used
12
to be
years, yes,
brahmacharya, the next 12 years used to be grihastha.
Mm.
And so he went through each of these.
Yes.
He went through each of these phases, you know, But all the time
focused, unwavering,
yeah, unwavering focus was
focus
on that mantra,
on that mantra.
And just the, forget the mantra itself, just the focus on the mantra was enough for him to get the ultimate.
Yes.
So I think this is a beautiful story which kind of
encapsulates
what patience is all about.
In fact, in 2011, February, you know, that is the time when all the students class-wise do gratitude programs. And the 12th class boys in 2011 wanted to do a gratitude program. And somehow, a very senior elder said, you know, this year, instead of just doing the songs and talks, generally gratitude programs are, you know, songs interspersed with short talks, why not have a skit? And Dr. Shailesh Srivastava, who was in charge of 12th class boys, you know, he was thinking which skit to do, and somehow this one came to him as a very, very powerful message. He got this strong indication from Swami, and you know, they started making, writing the script for this story, because this story has a lot of elements that can really be made into a beautiful drama. In fact, they had the final consummation of the boy merging with the divine. They had a Krishna come, and you know, the Krishna comes and embraces the boy, and you know, they had a lot of beautiful elements was built into the drama. And so they were trying to ask Swami permission for this drama. And, you know, we know how it was in that time, you know, 1 or 2 months before Bhagwan left the physical form. It's very difficult. You never know when he's coming, and, you know, very difficult to get any attention. And so they were praying and praying and praying. There was one day when Bhagwan came and blessed the pens and everything for the 12th class board exams. But they could not get this opportunity. And in March 23rd, 2011, when Swami came, the boys got up. There was a lot of gap between the last exam. You know, some of the board exams are held in April. So they had like 21 days gap between the board exams. They thought even during that time they will do it, you know, if Swami gives the permission. So that day when Bhagwan came, they said, Swami, we want to do this gratitude program. Swami heard everything. What is it? They said, Swami, we are doing this Chinnakatha. They narrated the entire story. Swami heard that entire story. And then Swami said, ee drama cheyali. You should do this drama. Swami said, you should do this drama. And for Shailesh sir, you know, for him, that was such an important message where Swami was saying, you should do this drama. And if you see, it was a drama within a drama. The drama that Swami was enacting at that point in time, because in the drama, the guru attains Mahasamadhi. Here you had the divine Sadguru who attained, but he was telling, this is the drama, you know, this is the role that you have to play in the drama that I am doing. And I think if you see, it was a consummation of purity, patience and perseverance.
Yeah.
The boy's thoughts were pure. No matter what the surroundings, only on God, only on achieving that goal, self-realization, mantra from the guru, patience, tremendous patience and perseverance. And if you see, everything happens at the right time in God's master plan. Perhaps the boy had to go through that many years of refinement. Perhaps it was meant that he has to serve that lady. Perhaps it was the right time for the king now. You know, the king also had to go through some process before he can be blessed with that blessing. Yes. You know, perhaps the king had to do that much of service to the people. Perhaps a lot of poor people had to be fed by the king. You know, we don't know. There are so many dimensions to it. But ultimately when it happens in the way that it is maximum good for maximum number of people. And I think that is the reason why we can never ever fathom the actions of the divine. But
In fact, we did this drama eventually in 2012, convocation drama. It was a combination of 3 Chinnakathas.
Yes.
One of the Chinnakathas was this one. And in fact, one of the challenges that we had is, how do you show self-realization? You know, how does one show Because we don't know what self-realization, you know, ours is only an intellectual understanding yes. of what self-realization.
Nobody has gone that side.
Yeah, has, and come back to
come
tell
back
us.
To tell us, exactly.
So, yes, that was a challenge, but of course, we did it in the form of a dance, you know, kind of, you know, like that, the Sufistic kind of dance.
Yes.
And with, you know, like Nishkalo, Niranjano, Nirvikalpo, yes. that going on in yeah. the background, and, you know, kind of some, Yeah, so we eventually did, and that was an opportunity for us to actually go very deep into.
Yes. I remember that was a very profound drama. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I cannot believe it that we've actually spent close to an hour discussing just last week's point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think that is something, even to me, I think it's a very powerful message, you know, perhaps one of the last messages that Swami gave before, you know, he left the mortal coil. But that in 1993 birthday discourse, last time we were talking, Swami said, you know, the only difference between you and me is this: purity, patience, perseverance. Yeah. Anybody who can cultivate this will become me. And this drama, in a way, is...
I think there was one other interaction I remember. Somebody was telling me that when somebody, I think a bunch of youth groups, I think it was Hyderabad youth group, would ask Swami, what is the one mantra for success?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Swami told them this. I may not be recollecting the exact group to whom which was told, but I remember very clearly what Swami had told. Swami was very excited, it seems, to tell. What is the one mantra of his life that he remembers all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, the one thing that I remember, you know, and tell myself all the time, Swami saying this is, whatever happens, happens for my good.
Mm.
Swami is telling them that I tell myself this,
oh my God,
this every single day. Mm. Now, obviously, Swami doesn't have to tell himself that.
Yeah.
But I think it's such a powerful thing, because I think even in that,
my
this
life
too
is
shall
a message.
Pass.
Yes.
Yeah, this too shall pass. Patience, all of these sub points come under that, which is whatever is happening for my good.
Mm.
So I think if we were to give our listeners, you know, and ourselves a few takeaways from, you know, what is, how patience becomes our strength.
Yes.
I think last time we discussed about Mother Shabari.
Yes.
This time we discussed about the various other characters of Ramayana.
Yes.
We discussed about this beautiful Chinnakatha, which
yes.
is about the boy and,
yes.
you know, the mantra. And then we discussed about this too shall pass.
Let me tell you the story of an apple. The apple and the little girl. So there was this news that God in heaven is distributing apples, and so there was a ladder from earth to heaven to collect these apples from God's own hands, and so a lot of people went up, and so there was this little girl who also stood on the queue, in the queue, and long queue, and you know, to wait for so many hours, and the beautiful Lord is giving each one blessed apple. And so everyone expectantly is taking their apple and then coming back to earth. And so when the turn for this little girl came, so this little girl put out her hand in all anticipation, and God also gave a very beautiful smile, and he placed the apple on the little girl's hand. And just at that moment, that apple just slipped.
Oh.
And it fell. It fell down to earth. And the girl started crying. You know, she has waited for so long. And she says, you know, can I have my apple? And God says, oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I will give you, but, you know, you have to join the queue again if you want the apple. Because, you know, I give only one apple per person. I cannot break that rule. And the little girl is like, either you have two options. You go back to the earth, there is no problem. Or just go back to the queue. And the little girl says, it's okay. Maybe I'll have to stand a little more longer, but I'll just do it. And so she goes back and she stands in the queue. And, you know, it's a much longer queue now. And finally, when her turn comes, and God now, once again, chooses and gives an apple. And the girl now holds it tight.
She better.
Okay. And then God says, you know what? this is the most succulent, the most nutritious, beautiful apple. I had really kept it for you. That apple which fell down was actually not a good one. It was a rotten one. I didn't want to give it to you. But I was just seeing if you can take this journey to get this. Go enjoy. Have fun. So I think, you know, yes, when we are in difficult times, you know, very difficult to feel. Why is that when everybody is getting an apple, why does my apple has to fall down? You know, why is it my fate? And I'm a little girl. You know, why does it have to happen to me? But, you know, it's very difficult, yes, in that moment to reconcile. But I think we just have to be patient.
Yeah, true. But I think, brother, the point you're making is very important. The point that you made at the end is when we see or when we get the suffering, I think it's too late to start learning patience once the crisis hits you.
Yeah.
See, obviously, we are not telling people who are in crisis, now you start developing patience.
Yes.
But if we have already developed patience, it helps us to deal with crisis.
Yes.
So let's not wait for a crisis to come and then say, you know, so let me wait for that time and then I will start, developing patience.
If you have patience, this crisis will not come. Exactly. Crisis will not come in this severity.
Exactly.
You know? Because a lot of the crisis
is about how we deal with it,
you know, our response to situations.
Correct.
Because if we were patient enough, we wouldn't have got angry 8 out of 10 times when we actually got angry. Yeah. If we had enough of patience, you know, probably we wouldn't have lost and slipped in doing so many things, which if we had a little more patience, you know, I think, you know, be it greed, be it anger, be it, you know, even greed again, if you had a little more patience, you probably wouldn't have lost that money.
In fact, yeah. In fact, I think all of the Shadaripus, all the six enemies can be overcome by patience.
By patience.
Right? Because it's all of these six enemies are animalistic impulses.
Yes.
These are instincts.
Yes.
Where we are very impulsively, we are coming back at things. So if only we are able to have that patience, we are able to step one step behind and look at it. Our own intellect will tell us, you know what, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
this is going to go. Don't do this.
Yes, yes.
So all we need to do is to step back every now and then.
Yes, yes.
Especially as Swami said, when the negative comes, correct, step back. When a positive thought comes, do it immediately.
March, don't delay.
Don't delay.
Anything good, don't delay. Anything not good, just postpone, delay.
Exactly. So they have patience when it comes to negative things. In fact, be impatient to do something positive.
Positive, yes. Absolutely.
I think that's the takeaway.
Absolutely.
Wonderful takeaway.
Yes. And I think that's why it's so important, even though this line is so little, small. I say patience is all the strength that man needs.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I think that is quite a powerful statement, but something that
let us practice that from from day one.
Yes,
wait for a crisis to come. So
exactly.
Tell ourselves, I may not be in a position today to practice my patience.
Yes.
Everything must be maybe hunky dory in my life.
Yes.
You know, so to say, everything is going on well. Yeah. There's no need for me to show patience, but yet let me remind myself of that the patience is the greatest strength. This too shall pass.
Yes.
Everything happens for my good.
Yeah.
I'm sure, of course, today in a city life, I'm sure for most of our listeners, you're forced to be patient in the traffic of today and, you know, the delayed trains and the delayed flights and all of that.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
I mean, if the maid comes half an hour late, let's be patient.
The maid, the milk, the newspaper. There are hundreds of things why we can do.
Your internet is buffering on your mobile phone, let's be patient.
Let's be patient. Yeah, we were talking about the second tick on WhatsApp.
Yes, yeah. So, exactly. So, I think, from the Puranas to the times now, there are enough examples and it is, we just have to only walk on this path, as, you know, Mahatma Gandhi very beautifully said, you know, my experiments with truth. I feel we all have to do those experiments, you know, my experiments with truth, my experiments with love, my experiments with patience, and, you know, we will have our own beautiful, miraculous moments of living with Bhagwan. So, dear listeners, today we just spent a little more time in just this one point number 19.
please feel free to share your thoughts. You know, I know there are so many of us in this journey and we are all putting our own little small and big steps, and we have to hold each other's hand. When we listen to someone else's journey, we feel inspired. We feel, oh, if he could do it, I can definitely do it. And that is what satsang is all about, to help each other. Walk with courage, walk with joy, because this is a journey towards the ultimate joy. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We also look forward to your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Offering to Bhagwan this little endeavor that he allowed us in his infinite mercy, we bring this session to a close. Thank you so much. Sayonara.